And that means that it's time for another Law Matters program. Hello and welcome to the program for the next hour, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman with you today, and our focus for this whole hour is to the Central Australian area of this big country. It's a huge month coming up in October in Alice Springs, and we're going to be speaking to some people who work with CALIS. And CALIS is the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service. And today on the program, we're going to be meeting a fellow by the name of Ken Leckleitner. Now, he is a CALIS Aboriginal Legal Support Officer with the Night Patrol, and he's going to be talking to us about his work in Alice Springs, but also, very excitingly, about what's happening next month as part of the National Indigenous Legal Conference, which is going to be hosted in Alice Springs and held there. So I'm sure that many people from all over the country are busily preparing to get off and be part of that big event. Also speaking with us from Alice Springs is Noel Hayes. Noel is the chairman of the CALIS board, and to coincide with the National Indigenous Legal Conference, CALIS is turning 40 years old. So CALIS started back in 1973. So Noel's going to be talking to us about the history of CALIS, what an important role it has played in the justice system in Central Australia in the last 40 years, and what they've got planned for their big birthday celebrations. I do hope you can stay with me. We'll also be giving you very important information about the big John Pat rally happening in Perth today. It is a National Day of Action in remembrance of young John Pat, who passed away in Roebourne 30 years ago this year. Stay tuned. This is Law Matters. Jodie Hoffman, good to have your company. And you're listening to the Law Matters program, brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And absolutely thrilled today to say the focus of our program is on Alice Springs, and in particular, CALIS. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, CALIS is located in Alice Springs, and it provides high-quality, culturally appropriate legal advice and representation for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people living in Central Australia. It also advocates for the rights of our people and provides community legal education and assists people on the inside and the outside. A really important job that is coming up to a huge milestone, being 40 years. Later on this hour, we're going to meet the chairman of the CALIS board, Noel Hayes, who's going to be telling us all about what is planned for those 40th birthday celebrations. But before that, very happy to introduce to our program for the first time a fellow by the name of Ken Leckleitner, who is very involved with the justice system, and he joins us here now. Ken, thanks for your time on Law Matters. How are you going?
Hey, look, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's great.
Well, it's nice, isn't it, when, you know, community radio can link our communities from one part of the country to another. Hey, Ken.
Oh, look, that's just incredible, the technology that we have now. So we should be able to maximise a lot of our things, because traditionally our old people did it the long way and the hard way. We do it now in the modern style.
Oh. Hey, Ken, you've got so many strings to your bow that I don't know where to begin in talking about your background and what you've done and the work you do. But let's start off with just finding out a little bit about you, Ken.
Okay, myself, Ken Leckleitner. Now, see, grandfather was German, so I've got a German sort of kind of background, but otherwise Aboriginal Mudjahdja and Western Arrernte on my mother's side and my father's side as well. So just west of Alice Springs, so Central Desert area.
Okay. Now, when we're talking about providing legal assistance to our mob, it's vastly different in the Central Australian area, isn't it? Because you're servicing so many remote communities as well.
We are, but then also, like, we got to look really across the board and look at, well, what is our construct? You know, we have a common construct regardless of what tribe we come from, but we've got to be able to structure it. And if we structure it in such a way, we have like a layer. We have a three layer, right? We have a traditional law, which is above the line, and then you've got a cultural law, and then you've got customary. So we've got these three layers. These two upper layers, which is traditional and culture, difficult to change, but customary. customary gives us a lot of scope to change and mould within our region what we can do. Otherwise, this top two layer gives us a foundation that our ancestors crisscrossed across this country. Because a lot of our storyline goes into Western Australia and into South Australia and all other states are all centred around the traditional law and the cultural law. But then customary is what we do at a customary level for that area. Like, for example, we are not allowed to skin kangaroo here, but in the cooler countries, you're allowed to skin it and wear it as clothing. That is customary for that area. So when we truly start exploring what our construct of law is, man, we see so much opportunity there. We can then, hang on, we could also write laws. If we can have members in Parliament, let's start writing laws the way we want it to reflect ourselves and visualise ourselves in the future.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Ken? I mean, we're the oldest living, surviving culture in the world.
Yes, and we have this foundational structure, which is, that's why the term for our conference is Ngara Turukutui, which means we possess two laws as in our ancient law and the modern law. So we've got to be able to move between this space. But at the same time, for the modern law, for us to embrace that with our hearts and minds, we've got to take the construct of our cultural law, our traditional law, and apply it. And then, therefore, we don't have any issues in regards to carrying the law in our hearts and in our minds because we're writing it.
It's a very good point you make. I'm talking with Ken Lechleitner, who is the Carlos Aboriginal Legal Support Officer and works with the Night Patrol. I was checking out the Carlos website, Ken, and it had the front steps there, and it had, you know, your field officers down the left and then, you know, robed legal people on the right-hand side.
Exactly.
And it's about the juggling of those two laws, isn't it?
That's right. And we can find that space in the middle, and then with the opportunity that we have from the Western construct is that you write the laws, with us is that we may have to modify it by using the lower level at customary, right? Customary aspect gives us the permission to write it, because otherwise our traditional law and cultural law is fixed. We can't change that. But customary aspect allows us to do that.
Ken, I'm keen to know how important the survival of languages is in that law and to find out what languages you speak.
I speak Matjara, Aranda and Warlpiri. And so these are sort of just three of the languages that I speak within this sort of central area, which has 25 different languages. So, but when we have ceremonies, we have a ceremony language that was one that crisscrossed all across different tribes. It's like a 4x100 relay where a baton was exchanged. So all sort of tradition, all sort of kind of knowledge referred to that one language, which is like Latin, which is ceremony language, and that language is only used then. So that's so freaky, isn't it? But that's so unique that we possess that as Aboriginal people or First Nation people of this country in regards to our law and our structure. We got to be sort of kind of a little bit smart and explore what we got to set the foundation for the future. Otherwise, we're going in there blind. And this conference would allow us to explore that and then gives us another base to look at and say, hang on, we need to reinvent ourselves and reinvent ourselves with the construct that we have, because it's the law that we have need to take forward with us. Well, whether we need to modify it or not, it's up to us.
And these conferences are a really important forum, not only for our mob, but for non-Aboriginal Australia to come along and hear, because it's organised in such a great way. Western Australia was the host city last year for the National Indigenous Legal Conference. Mm. Carlos is hosting it and putting it together this year.
Yes.
What's your involvement been in that?
Well, my involvement is part of the committee in regards to organising the cultural aspects of it all, and also working with Tanya Pass as the one of the actual lawyers that's Aboriginal as well, that did her law degree in Perth, Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And she's from up this way. So she's a fantastic young lady, and she's just, so invaluable in regards to piecing all of these things together. and what a pleasure to work with as well. So we are combining this sort of term, which is Tnungara Turukutri, which means we do have two laws, or we possess two laws, if you want to translate that in a correct format. Turukutri, which means we belong to or we possess two laws. Now, that sort of really, you know, puts us in a whole new platform where we're going to say, hang on a minute, if law is what governs us through the Westminster system, then let's look at hows, and then how can we integrate it into this system to then have our hearts and minds follow it or enforce it. Otherwise, it's something that's being said and done for us, but we can't, you know, have ownership of it. Where we need to be able to have ownership of it, but we need to be able to include our components into it. And in that way, it truly becomes our law collectively. So look, I think this conference will sort of lead the way in having this kind of discussion, and also then people taking up that ownership of, yes, we all have this. We have this as our bloodline, which is 2,400 generations of bloodline or DNA that we possess in regards to this construct of law for this First Nations people.
We're talking about the 8th Annual National Indigenous Legal Conference that takes place at the Alice Springs Convention Centre between the 24th and the 26th of October. Gee, these conferences, you cannot underestimate how important they are, can you?
No, that's right. Because this is what it's all about. It's like you're coming together and sharing these ideas at that level where we can then use to, say, influence policy or influence our members that are in Parliament now to actually then start doing the job that you're elected for, start remedying our situation by writing good laws, by including us as a process on a daily type operation to setting strategies for the future or laws on how we're going to interact as a group of people living in one community or another.
As somebody who's very involved with the justice system and also your communities there, Ken, what changes have you seen in that 40 years since Carla started up in terms of is our voice being heard more by the decision makers?
Well, look, it's being sort of kind of heard, but then the goalpost is shifting all the time. But at least if we, you know, get our head around this, is look, the law is there to do the same kind of thing that our, like for example, let's look at the classic story of Tiddalik the Sand Frog, right? Tiddalik the Sand Frog is a traditional Dreamtime story, right, which is a Tnungara, which is a traditional law, about saying you shall not be greedy. Greed does not serve this society or this community. So therefore, we've got to share. So a cardinal sin for a hunter-gatherer society was not sharing. That's why we've modified the sharing very openly in a modern-day context as well, because we got that construct from these stories from the Dreamtime, which is our laws from the Dreamtime, that defines us here today. So they've got old proverbs telling us what we can do and what we should do. Is that making sense, what I'm saying?
It certainly is.
So, you know, we're in this sort of kind of cutting edge sort of kind of time and position now where we're now dabbling in sort of kind of a Western sort of way of writing laws or making laws. Guess what? We've got members in Parliament there too now. Let's start being legislators and start writing these good laws that can integrate us and allow us to have a life that can remedy our situation.
And I imagine that, you know, hot on the heels of a federal election, there's going to be a lot of talk both in conference rooms and outside of conference rooms about the way forward at this National Indigenous Legal Conference. What can we expect at the conference, Ken?
Well, to at the conference itself, you'll get to explore what we have, and then where do we go from here? We have a session in here which we look at the two laws, the Bush Law sort of program that was developed by a fantastic lady, Danielle Loy. It's called Bush Laws, and how traditional men spoke about, look, even our coat of arms, the emu and the kangaroo, are significant creatures in our culture that are actually lawmakers. They are lawmakers that now use as a common seal, or you know, as a coat of arms of Australia. And so therefore, our laws are recognised there by symbol. So therefore, it's like what the kangaroo did and what the actual emu did is they're actually one of the two of the five law people, law animals in this country. So we've got to be able to bring that out, talk about these kind of things and say, look, we're not lawless. We have a structure. Let's then build on this structure and by integrating it into this other system that can allow us to work it out or become writers of our laws. So for me, I'm very excited about the whole prospect and the opportunity that we'll be able to sort of kind of share with our fellow Aussies and look at it and say, hey, look, we're on the same boat here. Let's just start writing good laws that could remedy our situation and we will go a long way.
Oh, really exciting stuff. And is it the first time that you guys up there have hosted this conference?
Yeah, first time. Yeah, first time. So we're kind of like, you know, I suppose new to it all as well. But at this type of sort of kind of level, it's like, oh, nerve-wracking as well, hoping that, you know, we get it right too, not sort of, you know, because things can go pear-shaped because all it sort of takes is someone to sort of kind of go off the rails instead of, hey, let's focus on the positive, because it's so easy to go on the negative and this, this and that. But if you look at law, as in we write laws to remedy our society and we are part of that society and we're not the victims, we're actually the host and we then can set directions.
It's a really good point you make there, Ken, and I think that the media has a fair bit to answer for in that regard as well, in terms of not spending enough time highlighting all the fantastic work and community members and great work that is going on in communities. It's quite too often focusing on the negatives, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And looking at what the structure sort of provides, it provides harmony. It did that for 60,000 years. What more evidence base do you need?
Yes.
In regards to law and order? Because at the moment we're like kind of treated as we don't have any. We don't have any law. We don't have any structure. Hello? These are the very thing that allows us to present to what Mabo did, and in regards to it's that law that won this debate. So let's not forget that. Because that is part of the country. That is part of the landscape itself, because the topography and the geography was formed by these creatures that created the law itself. See, this is another level of understanding that we need to share, even with our fellow First Australians, that, you know, may not have had the opportunity to, you know, explore the cultural aspects. But this is where we need to then open it up and say, look, culture is as good as what we want to make it and what we want to take with us to the future. And we're in charge of that.
Well, the program is absolutely jam-packed. It looks like it's going to be a fantastic few days, and I'm sure you guys will do an awesome job, and I know you'll be very welcoming as hosts. It is the 8th Annual National Indigenous Legal Conference in Alice Springs from the 24th to 26th of October. Still time to register, so I know that there's so much positive feedback that comes out of not only sort of getting together and sharing those networks, but it's just such a great feeling of unity and strength at these events, isn't it?
Oh, yes, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're examining, well, what is the law and who actually writes it? And then at times we forget that we are the masters too. We are the important cog in actually writing these laws, because it's about us.
Yeah, beautifully said. Ken, before we let you go, I do want to find out about the night patrol that Carlos runs.
Okay. The night patrol, see, this is where the night patrol is. If we have a good night patrol operating and functioning well, then that at least is a measure in regards to what is a safe community. To have a safe community, at least we can have a measuring point if a night patrol is functioning well, supported well, and it's doing all the right things behind the scene, and it's doing all the social inclusion and all of those things, then we can truly say that is a safe community, because we've got a fully functioning night patrol operation and it's fully respected by the community and its members right down to the little child. Because at the moment you talk about a safe community, but what does the safe community look like? Where a functioning night patrol gives us a picture of what a safe community can look like.
What's most rewarding for you out of the work you do with Carlos?
Oh, look, it's when the penny drops. It's when the penny drops in regards to we do a comparing contrast of, look, this is the Western law. It says this. You cannot steal, you cannot stab someone here, or you cannot steal their wife, and then you kind of do an explore. Is that the same in our culture? Yeah, you can't do this, you can't do that. Yeah, well, there you go. It's a law that has similar village from another village to another village that was spread up and then it came over here. And then, guess what? It's still the same. Because we can't do this. We can't kill someone because we feel like it. We can't steal someone's wife because we feel like it. We can't steal someone else's property because we feel like it. These laws are similar in this as well. And people sort of say, oh my goodness. We do have a construct. We do have a system. And that is when the penny drops and I kind of think, wow, we have been somehow hoodwinked of this whole process. Because it's about how we can interact and behave in the presence of fellow human beings.
Ken, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to do your own commercial now to encourage more mob to get up there to this conference, which sounds fantastic. Go for it.
Okay. Look, guys, if you come over to Alice Springs and experience this sort of Ngata Thurgatui conference, you will take back something that you'll be able to apply, and then we could all reunite together and say, look, we have one set of sort of construct of law that was in the beginning and still is here today, and we can build on that by including the laws of the Western world to make it so. So, guys, come on down and let's sort of combine together and learn together and set a whole new direction.
Ken, it's been fantastic speaking with you. I hope we can have another chat in the future. I know we're going to speak to Noel Hayes, the chairperson of Carlos, shortly on the program.
Well, you've got my number now.
I've got your number now. Look out. But, you know, it's been really enlightening and, you know, it is just such an important role that organisations like Carlos and the ALS and
yes,
all of our mob
right.
play around the country in sort of staying strong. And I think, yeah, the balance of everything you've spoken about today just reinforces why it is so important that we sort of stand united and speak out and stay strong, hey?
That's right, yep.
We'll let
Thank
you go.
Thank you very much, Jody.
And we'll speak to you again. G'day to all the mob at Carlos from all the ALS mob.
To all the Noongar people. And, thank you for the opportunity.
Take care, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you, Ken.
Okay, bye.
That is Ken Lechleitner. He's an incredible man and very involved in the coordination of the Two Laws Together conference hosted by the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service. This year is the 8th annual National Indigenous Legal Conference and Ball. So this is the dates, Wednesday 23rd of October to Saturday the 26th of October at the Alice Springs Convention Centre, 93 Barrett Drive in Alice Springs. If you would like to find out more information, jump on the Carlos website or phone this number 08 8950 9300, 08 8950 9300. Tanya Pass can give you more information on that, or Ken can give you more information, but really nice to sort of chat with some of our mob from Alice Springs here on Law Matters. And coming up in a moment, more focus on Alice Springs when we meet Noel Hayes, the chairperson of Carlos. Stay tuned, this is Law Matters. This is the Law Matters program brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman with you on the program, and really loving today's program, all focused around Alice Springs, which is lovely. And we're just talking to Ken Lechleitner before about the National Indigenous Legal Conference that's coming up in Alice Springs in October, and just a huge job that Carlos is doing. So we thought we'd focus all of today on Alice Alice Springs, because there's a pretty significant time coming up for CALIS next month, which is the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service. And to let us know more, I would like to welcome to the program Noel Hayes, who is the chairperson of CALIS. Noel, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having me today, and I'd like to say hello to all our people out there, all the countrymen, and say, you know, I hope they're all healthy, and, you know. So I just wish them well, yeah, all our people over there.
Thanks so much, Noel. Look, before we start, you're an incredible man, and you've had played such a major role in CALIS since the early 1970s. So before we actually talk about the birthday celebrations, let's find out a little bit about more about you.
Yeah, well, I've been around CALIS, you know, for over, you know, just about 40 years now. And I'm an Aboriginal man. I come from up just south of Tennant Creek on the Stuart Highway, where I live on my community. I like helping out people, you know, and just about everything, you know, if I can, you know, get involved with these sort of like legal aid things and, you know, just the general government things, you know, like a government, you know, and all these sort of things. We've got to fight for our rights and our people.
You have been a really big part of CALIS since the early 70s, since it's began, and as I understand it, Noel, as a field officer, you and your team would travel to very remote bush court circuits around Alice Springs, which still happen today. It's really taking the service to our communities, isn't it?
Yes, you know, just like in the West, you know, where they go out of bush courts. Well, yeah, we started out here and a few major, you know, the communities. I think there's about three or four we went to, and just to get out there, because they put police stations down, they was charging everybody, so we had to go out there, and on some days there was, you know, over 80, you know, 80 people, because it's just once a month sort of thing.
Yeah. So you must have seen some big changes in CALIS in the last 40 years since it first began. Tell us about those early days.
Yes, the early days were, like all, you know, when Aboriginal people, you know, trying to set themselves up, you know, in whatever they do, it is pretty hard going, you know. You had a battle, you know, for just about everything you can get, really, like, you know, and we had to, you know, like every other organisation, and every organisation in Australia, you had to really fight and fight for your funding and prove yourself, more or less. Yeah.
Gee. And, it's like, I guess, all the ALSs around the country, hey, Noel, where, you know, I know that some people who remember in Perth as children, you know, their weekends were spent standing on corners shaking tin cans to try and raise enough money, and, you know, so much of the support offered to the ALSs in the early years was done by voluntary people who believed that this needed to be happening, hey?
Yes, that's right. And, you know, we had, you know, in them days, early days when we was, you know, trying to set it up and you know, to look after our people going to court in the bush and in town, we had to, you know, we really had to fight, you know, for these sort of things, and it didn't change much today, you know, in today's society either. Yeah, I'm just having a go at the government and other people as well.
But I mean, you know, you've seen, in 40 years, Noel, you've seen so many changes in government. Do you think we've come a long way in 40 years in terms of Aboriginal voices being listened to about what is appropriate for our mob?
Well, we was not really when you're talking about customary law and when you get, like in the bush court, you get someone up for, you know, for various assaults and murders and, you know, that sort of thing, you know, and now they don't take in the, you know, the customary law with Aboriginal people, you know, when they gotta, you know, you gotta stand out and get speared and, you know, get hit over the head, you know, this sort of thing, you know, we're not allowed to do that anymore.
It was when we were talking to Ken earlier in the program, he was talking about, you know, that getting that right balance of traditional, customary and, you know, law as it stands today, because there's, you know, oldest living culture in the world. You can't survive without so much knowledge, hey?
Yeah, that's right, because in the bush, just about anywhere in the bush communities, and that, you know, Aboriginal people still practice that, you know, that's, you know, that sort of law. But if the police find out, well, you know, they're going to charge you, you know, with assault and all sorts of things. Yeah.
So you're involved with the board of Carlos now, as the chair of that. I imagine that there's constant challenges that come up for you as board members, but you must have seen a lot of changes and had quite a lot of achievements from Carlos's perspective in those years, hey?
Yes, there's a lot of changes, because when we first started off, we had all Aboriginal people coming in from all the communities, and, you know, we used to have our big meetings and AGMs, you know, and there was, you know, probably excess of, you know, 100 people used to come in them early days, just for our AGMs, and, you know, we were still trying to sort ourselves out, of course, you know, to get a good governance, you know, balance and all that sort of thing. And now, you know, we've finally done that. Now we've got, you know, well, we're a bit more streamlined.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's been some highlights for you in the work that you've done with Carlos over those years, Noel?
We started, like a lot of organisations, then you start off in your little shed, so to speak. You know, how many you get funding, and you get more flash offers, I suppose you can say, and more staff, we get a pretty big, you know, staff here now, and lawyers and everybody, like every other organisation, so you got to get the, well, professionals, I suppose. Yeah, and so, you know, so really, you know, we've come a long way, but our people are still, they're still going to jail, you know, we're right up there, all Aboriginal people, you know, I think they're the most, you know, they're all populated the jails now, I suppose.
Yes, yeah, overrepresented, aren't we, for the amount of the population in Australia that we make up. And yep. I guess it's always very confusing for many of your clients where, you know, they're traditional Aboriginal people who still practice law, and then caught up in that Western law system. It's really important that Carlos is there to be able to assist them through that process, so that people actually understand what is going on if they're charged or have to appear in court, or, you know, trust their legal representative to get their message across in the right way, hey?
That's right, yeah, because, you know, we represent about 16 language groups, in Carlos. We've got people from South Australia, down the corner, and over in Western Australia, you know, right up, you know, to the Kimberleys, and top end people, you know, come, you know, down here, and we're going to represent them and these people in Queensland, you know, South Australia. There's, you know, so we got about 16 language groups, and we got our interpreters, our project officers, field officers, I suppose. Yeah.
Yes.
So we got on top of that, you know, because we got that many language groups, and of course, you know, a lot of our people, you know, they can't, you know, understand that, you know, the lawyers and, you know, the way they talk in court.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a really important role that can't be underestimated, where, you know, the field officers or the client service officers, as they are now, you know, pass their cultural knowledge on to the legal representative, so that the lawyers are actually getting a greater understanding as well from a cultural perspective, and that's going to help them in court, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. You know, because when you're in the bush court, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you can't talk to so-and-so and so-and-so can't look at you in the court, you know, all this sort of thing, because it's a cultural thing, you know, you can't, you know, some woman can't look at another man, and man can't look at another woman, because it's a cultural thing how that was brought up, sort of thing, you know, in the law way.
So here you all are now coming up to 40 years. What a huge achievement, 40 years of providing high quality, culturally appropriate legal advice and representation to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Central Australia. October's going to be a big month, not only with the National Indigenous Legal Conference, but the celebrations that you've got planned. Tell us what Carlos is going to do to celebrate 40 years, Noel.
We're going to have a big celebration, put it that way. There's various things on there, but I haven't got the
There's going to be a big community barbecue and entertainment.
It'll be sort of a, you know, like having the people, they open to, you know, everybody else sort of thing.
I reckon you'll get a pretty big turnout to that.
Yeah, I reckon they're getting some young lawyers and students are coming up and a few other people. I don't know, the ins and out of it at the moment, but they're still organising all that,
Yeah, fantastic. And there's going to be a ball as well, so going to be absolutely huge. It's the celebration of the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service 40th birthday in conjunction with the Legal Conference. So it's going to be Saturday the 26th of October at Urramina Homestead. Where's that?
That's about 30-something k's south of Alice on the old South Road, and it's right in the bush. And they got a bit of a tourist thing there, and we're going to go way out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you got it. That'll be good, sitting out there having an evening meal under the stars, apparently.
My gosh. Well, you got a local Aboriginal DJ spinning some tracks all night long. You've got Warren H. Williams. He's a legend.
Yes, I'll be all there. Yeah, we'll have people from all over, I think,
And comedian Kevin Cropinieri. He was in Perth doing some gigs last year, or earlier this year, maybe. And I tell you what, when we get together, we like to have a laugh, that's for sure, hey?
Exactly. We like laughing at anything, because having the people, just the way we are, we laugh about anything,
It's going to be an absolutely huge time. Look, Noel, I'd love to chat with you for longer, but we're nearly out of time on the program.
But I do want to
finish up with you by congratulating Carlos on the great job that you guys do up there. It's just an incredibly important job, and the justice system would be totally lost without all of the intricate and complex work that is done by Aboriginal legal services around the country.
Yes, you're right there, yes.
What motivates you? It's been such a big part of your life in over 40 years being involved in that justice system. What motivates you to do what you do, Noel?
Yeah, well, I'm getting, like a lot of old people, we just can't lie down. We'd like to keep fighting for our people.
Yes.
We're helping them and we're trying to show them that, that we're there for them, and like in the court system, because, they're overrepresented sort of thing. But no, that's something that I love doing, and I've been doing it, for all these years, from working in there and being a director, the president before, and I worked a lot of, for many, many years, and I come back on the board. Yeah, so I've been, tied up with, like you said, for the last 40 years,
Okay.
And I've seen people come and go, and we lost a lot of our original people. They passed on. It'll be a happy time, and it'll be a sad time, I think.
Yes. Noel, look, thank you so much for having a chat with us down here in Noongar country in WA. It's been a real treat to have a focus on Alice Springs for all of this program, and some really special things coming out of your area there. And I'm glad we caught you in town today, because you're not normally in town, are you?
No, I live out bush in the community,
Yes. And we should mention that Carlos hasn't only got an office in Alice Springs, there's also one in Tennant Creek, hey?
Tennant Creek, up where I come from, not far from there,
So when you're in Alice Springs, how long does it take you to drive home?
Oh, it takes me about nearly 4 hours, just take it easy,
And how's your weather?
Well, very hot now.
Yes.
It's summertime. Yep, you've got to have a big hat on or an umbrella, yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty of water, mate. Bush, remember.
Yeah. Noel, thanks for being on Law Matters. All the best with next month and congratulations on 40 years for the Carless mob up there, and keep up the fantastic work, won't you?
Yeah, well, thank you very much for, you know, giving us the opportunity, and just say thank you for all our, you know, people in the West there. Look after yourself, mate.
Okay. Thank you, Noel. Bye-bye now.
Bye, mate. Thank you.
Noel Hayes is the chair of the Carless Board, and what a big month coming up. 40 years for Carless, celebrations planned for that, barbecues, a ball, and also to coincide with the National Indigenous Legal Conference. If you want any more information about the 40th celebrations for Carless, or the ball, or the National Legal Conference, take this number down. Ring Tanya Pass at Carless on 08 8950 9300 08 8950 9300, or just jump on the Carless website. Thanks as always for being a part of Law Matters, and it is brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service, and really enjoyed today's program, just sort of crossing to somewhere else in the country and finding out what's happening there, and meeting Noel and Ken from the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service. So thank you to our guests, and thank you for listening into the program. Just a reminder that this program does get put onto the Aboriginal Legal Service website after broadcast, so you can hear all our previous shows online as well. Until next time, do take it easy, and we look forward to your company again in a fortnight's time on a Wednesday for more of Law Matters, and of course we will have this program repeated on Sunday nights as well. From me, Jodie Hoffman, look after yourself, take care, and we will be with you again in a couple of weeks.